arrangement originally in Manhattan Rabbi Mendel Kashin used to raise money for his Torah Shleima. So then the Balabatim gave him a fortune of money to print the Torah Shleima. And then they said, do something for us that we'll get the Hanoah from. They could, they'd know which way to hold the Torah Shleima. You have a lot of wealthy Balabatim have a whole set of Torah Shleima in their homes. They couldn't use it, that it was too much. It has no negudas in it. It's a very lumdish sefer. So they asked him he should make an Erev in Manhattan. So he made the Erev. So that was the whole beginning of the whole Eisik. So when they made the Erev, they didn't... Much of the island is built on. Much of the island is missing. It goes in over here. It goes into the Hudson River like a beach. So from the first Mishnah in Erev, it would appear that if you have three mechitzas U-shaped, they're not Torah allowed to carry. You're not allowed to carry midirabban. So the question is, why are you not allowed to carry midirabban? Is it because, I think we did discuss it. So the first, there's a sefer Gaon Yankov on Erev, that the Mishnah Berurah quotes on every other page. Gaon Yankov is a sefer written in Aramaic by a nephew of Rav Chaim Balojana. Very good sefer. Very good sefer. Mishnah Berurah quotes it a lot. It's very, he's been very Rashi and Tosfos and Rambam. Very good sefer. So the first paragraph in the Gaon Yankov, he raises this question. If you have three mechitzas, and with the Rabban, you need a tikkun on the Ruch Rias. Why is that? Is it because there's a din nifras lamakam asala? Because outside, there's either a karmelus or a rishus or rabban. So you're not allowed to carry here because they may by mistake carry out the gzer with the Rabbanah. Or is it because no? Min HaTorah, three mechitzes is either a karmelus or a rishus ayochid. Midirabbanan, you're not allowed to carry. You have to, in order to be called the Rishus Ayach, you have to have four mechitzas. What's the difference? Halacha l'maaseh. Bottom line, if you don't have a tikkun on the Ruach Rias, you're not allowed to carry. So the difference is, what if on the fourth side is water? What do you mean? Someone by mistake is going to forget and carry into the water. He's wearing his shoes and socks. He's not going to walk into the water. Or let's say on the fourth side, there's nothing. Let's say you have a bridge, and the bridge has three mechitzas. Then on the fourth side, there's no mechitza. You fall off. It's not nifras l'mokam asala. What do you mean? You're afraid someone's going to walk. You're going to fall off of the bridge. So if the reason why you're not allowed to carry is because nifras l'mokam asala, so if on the fourth side there's water, so there's room to argue the point and say that no one's going to, by mistake, carry over there. So you don't need. So the Magen Avraham quotes a tshuva from the Knesset HaGdolah. Knesset HaGdolah, just like the Beis Yosef, made a likut of all of Rishayim and Achredim up until his time. So he lived in the 1500s. So the Knesset HaGdolah is a likut of all the Svarim after that. And then there's a Sefer Shiori Knesset HaGdolah. Then the Birkei Yosef made a further likut of whatever wasn't quoted by the Beis Yosef or by the Knesset HaGdolah. So he made a further likut. The Birkei Yosef is a likut of all the Svarim that were not quoted before. So the Magen Avraham quotes a cryptic psak from the Knesset HaGdolah that you're allowed to carry in Constantinople, and it doesn't explain what he's talking about. So that's exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about you have three mechitzas, and you can't put a tikkun on the Ruach Rias because the government won't let you, but the Ruach Rias is water, so there's no chashash that he's going to, by mistake, walk into the water. So the Knesset HaGdolah was mekel. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say yes, he doesn't say no, he doesn't talk about that case. My guess is maybe he didn't have a Knesset HaGdolah, so he didn't know what in the world the Magen Avraham was talking about. It's one line in the Magen Avraham. If you don't look it up in the original, you don't understand Bechlal, what the whole thing. Something about Constantinople, he doesn't explain it. That's what the topic was. So when Rav Kook originally made the Erev in, first he was in Yafo, before he became the chief rabbi, when he came originally from Europe, he came to take over the Rabbanus and Yafo. So when he made the Erev originally, so the government at that time, who was under the British, the Turks, I forgot already how under the British, I guess. So it was, so they wouldn't let him put the tikkun on the Ruach Rias. So he made an Erev on a smaller area, made an Erev on a larger area. And they have the Kol Kari. What's the name of the one who wrote all the Svarim about Rav Kook, all the biographies? I forgot his name.
Okay.
No, before, or older. The one who founded all the Yeshivot B'nai Akiva. forgot his name. Okay. Anyway, so he has a facsimile of the Kol Kari that Rav Kook hung up in Yafo. That up until this area you can carry, that's for sure a good area. And that area is based on the Kula in the Magen Avraham. So whoever wants to can rely on that Kula, whoever not, none. And they say that when they first did the Svarim Kook, when they first made the Erev in Warsaw, so the Chiddush Erim was alive, and the government wouldn't let them put the Tikkun on the Ruach Revius, and the Ruach Revius was a river, whatever river was in Warsaw. So he said, Kedai hu lismachala b'shas hadchag. So they relied on that, and they didn't. They carried in Warsaw because the Chiddush Erim said you can rely on this tshuva from the Magen Avraham Kotz and the Knesset Gedolah. It's a very difficult psak because the pashta says that it's not so. If the reason why you're not allowed to, if you have three mechitzas, the reason why you're not allowed to carry on the, if there's no tikkun on the Ruach Revius, because nifritz l'makam asalo, if that's the reason why, so let's say you had, when Shabbos began, you had four walls. In the middle of Shabbos, the fourth wall fell down. So nifritz l'makam asalo is a rishus hayachid with an isa tiltol. So on the level of the Raisa, such an animal doesn't exist. The whole word only exists on the level of Rabban. The concept doesn't exist. Has a head to tilt them. So the din is that whenever you have a Rishu Sayachid, let's say you have, I live in an apartment building. So when I tell the apartment building, the whole thing is one big Rishu Sayachid. Shlomo HaMelech made a takan, you need an Eruv Yichatzeris. If you don't have an Eruv Yichatzeris, it's a Rishu Sayachid with an Isa tilt them. So if you had an Eruv Chatzeris at the beginning of Shabbos, and then you ate up the box of matzahs, there's no Eruv Chatzeris left. So the din is Shabbos hol v'hutra utra. Whenever you have such a thing, a Rishu Sayachem, but then it's a tiltum, it's nikva by Trilos Knesis on Shabbos. You say, hol v'ishtri ishtri, hol v'nesra nesra. So what's the din? If you had four walls, and then in the middle of Shabbos, the fourth wall fell down, are you allowed to continue carrying on that? So that's a machlekes satanaim on daf tzad gimel. Machlekes abudu Reb Shimon. We paskin, you're not allowed to continue carrying. So that's exactly the Gemara never explains what the machlekes is, but the Pashto said that's exactly the machlekes. What's the need for the tikkun on the ruach revius? Because the nifrat to the mokam asalah? So then, if the wall fell down in the middle of Shabbos, shouldn't be a problem. We don't pass like that. We pass them that it's not called the Rishu Sayachid. Let's say you had walls around an area. In the middle of Shabbos, the government took dynamite and they knocked down all the walls. They're building something over there. So there are no longer any walls. So you don't say Shabbos hol v'hutra hutra. Since at the beginning of Shabbos, it was mutter to carry, allowed to carry the rest of Shabbos. Not a Rishu Sayachid anymore. If the Erev was eaten up, or you had boats that were tied together and they made an Erev together, and then the knot holding all the boats together got untied, and now the boats are floating apart from each other. So since in the beginning of Shabbos, it was mutter to carry from one boat to the other, even though now the boats are floating apart, you're still allowed to carry from one to the other. Each boat is a Rishus HaYochid. And even though now you have a Carmelis Mapsik, the Yam or the Nohar is Mapsik in between, since in the beginning of Shabbos, it's a Mishnah in the middle of Masechet Zeirus. Since in the beginning of Shabbos, it was mutter to carry, so you're allowed to carry, to continue to carry. Yeah. So the Pashto says that's not really right. The Pashto says that if it's that Shuva from that the Magen Avraham quotes from the Knesset Hagdolah, that if on the fourth side there's water, then you don't need an Erev. The Pashto says that it's difficult. And even though we make all the Chiddush Arim was make on Warsaw to rely on that, I think it's the Shuva from the Mabit, if I'm not mistaken, that the Magen Avraham quotes from the Knesset Hagdolah. And even the Chiddush Arim is Mekel B'Shas HaTchak. All right. So when Rabbi Mendel Kasher, Zechon L'Rochem, first made the Erev in Manhattan, it was a big Shas HaTchak. A lot of people were carrying. So they made an Erev to take off the Issa. Then they left it like that for years and years. They could have made it. They could have made the Tzuras HaPesach. They didn't make the Tzuras HaPesach until Rabbi J.J. Schechter was the rabbi in the Jewish center. And then he saw to it, I think, that they made a long Tzuras HaPesach around 30 blocks there on this part where the dry land goes into the Hudson River like a beach. So, B'Shas HaTchak, you rely on that. Even B'Shas HaTchak is difficult. So that is an issue. Again, I already forgot how we got involved there. what's the din? So Rav Moshe has a chiddush. He says if the mechitzas are above, on above the ground, then it's good even for the highway that's above it. So the Chazon Ish writes a davar poshut that's against the Tosfos and the way Tosfos read the Gemara. I don't know. Rav Moshe also knew the Tosfos. I don't know how Rav Moshe is going to answer it. Rav Moshe thinks that a mechitza below the ground is no good for above the ground, but a mechitza above the ground level is good even for an upper level. Rav Nenez also writes the davar poshut like the Chazon Ish. It's no good for upper level, and he uses a lashon of siluk mechitza. We gave diagrams about cases of siluk mechitza. So we gave the case like this. Let's say this is 100 amas. This is a building. This is a house. This is 100 amas. Here's a backyard. Here there's, let's say, a gap of 9 amas missing and 9 amas missing here. So you have, some rabbanim thought incorrectly, you have 118 amas across from this wall to this wall. 100 amas is omid v'rubal apar, it's only missing 18. And each one is less than eser, it's a pachas v'yaser. So this is a pesach, and this is a pesach, and you don't need any tikkun over here. You don't have to put any surahs of pesach over here, and you're allowed to carry on the side list. So the pashto says that that's not correct. We said because if you would just have the wall, here's the street. So if you just have the 100 amas wall here, that would be fine. But you have a whole house. So this whole area in the house is mesuluk from the whole picture. It's mukaf mechitza mesuluk. So just left with the pirtz over here. You don't say it's amir bubala part. This mechitza, the front of the house where it touches the street, is makif the inside of the house. It's makif the street. But it's no longer makif this area here on this side of this, because it's mesuluk mika. So the Gemara has such a lesson. Siluk mechitza in other cases. So the Avnei Nezer uses that lashon. He says if you have mechitza above the ground, and then you have a highway on top, and a highway on top, it's also siluk mechitza. This is siluk mechitza going sideways. This area is mesuluk. This is when you have a highway, a new ground level. So whatever mechitza is around the bottom, I'm mesuluk mika. This is a new ground level. Every ground level needs its own mechitzas. That's what the Chazon Ish holds, and that's what the Avnei Nezer holds. Pashtus is not like Rav Moshe. Moshe thinks that, strictly speaking, it is good. Mechitzas on the ground level, above the ground level, are good even for the upper level above that. Mechitzat Tluya we didn't fully cover. Number 48 in the Maram Kram is here. Mechitza Tluya, the Gemara says, if the Mechitza is within 3 Tvachim to the ground, then you say Lovud. The Mechitza above 3 Tvachim, say you don't say Lovud. It's not really Lovud. Lovud really is a different din. If it's sideways, let's say the Schach can't be more than 3 Tvachim away from the walls. If it's within 3 Tvachim, you say Lovud. But over here, it's not the din of Lovud. It's really a different din. It's a din of good achis mechitza. Whenever you have a mechitza that's 10 tefachim tall, so you have the right to visualize good. Good means stretch out. Mishoch, like good or yogud. People are shutfim, and I'm doing all the work, and the other guy's not doing anything, he's just taking half of the profit. So I say, I don't want to remain the shutfis. It's a Gemara in the first parak of Baba Basra. I can say, good or yogud, I offer you. I say, the business is worth $20 million. My share is worth $10 million. Your share is worth 10. We're 50-50. Shutfim. I say, either you buy me out, pay me $10 million for my share, or I want to buy you out. I'll buy you out for $10 million. So that's good or yogurt. So the word good means mishoch. Either take my half, or I'll take your half. So it is a din of good asik mechitz to good aches mechitz. If you have mechitz at 10 tefachim tall, they say good asik means it goes up, and good aches means you visualize. See if the mechitza goes down. So if the mechitza is above 3 tochim, above the ground, then you don't say good achis mechitza, because it's mechitza shahagadoyim bokimbo, since goats can easily go under the mechitza. So the Gemara says, you're only concerned about mechitza shahagadoyim bokimbo. Goats can, cockroaches can walk. Let's say you have a door. Cockroaches can crawl, and ants can crawl under the door also. We're not worried about bugs and ants. We're only worried about the gedoyim. And it's a machlokes hatanim. Is it 3 tefachim or 4 tefachim? What size gedoyim are you worried about? Some gedolim can crawl under up into if it's we talk what legs, what size gedolim we're working on. So the Gemara says you're only worried about mechitza shah gedolim bokim mechitza shah adogim bokim bo. You don't worry about. Let's say you have a mechitza tli al gabi hamayim. So what's going on over there? The fish are swimming under the surface of the water. Mechitza shah adogim bokim bo doesn't bother me. Rashi says because the fish swim under the surface of the water, they don't come out above the water. So that doesn't bother me. So. That's really what it depends on. Depends take gedoyim bokim bo cancels gurachis, and dogim bokim bo doesn't bother me. So mechitz al gabi hamayim is no problem. It's take no problem. So the Chazon Ish has one chapter in his sefer, one siman in the Chazon Ish on Erevin, where he writes the title of the chapter is Piskei Halacha that appear in the Tshuvos of the Chasam Sofer Hilchos Erevin that he thinks are very questionable, that he doesn't agree with. So one of them is on this topic. So he says the Chasam Sofer had a problem when he came to Presburg. He had a problem that the Goyim would rip down the Erev. The anti-Semites would rip down the Erev. So he said, no problem. You put, how tall is a person going to be? A person can't reach 10 feet tall. So make the pole that holds the wire. Have the pole begin at the height, the elevation of 10 feet, and it should go 10 tefachim higher, and then you have the wire all the way on top, so they can't, they're not going to bring a ladder, to rip down the pole. So the Chazon Ish says, what is he talking about? The pole is suspended 10 feet above the ground, and it's touching the building. It's not acceptable. So how in the world did the Chasam Sofer think that it is acceptable? He was Mekalan. How can it possibly be good? So the Chazon Ish writes, I'll tell you what the Chasam Sofer was thinking and why I think that he's wrong. So he says he was thinking based on the Gemara in Bava Kamma. She was learning Bava Kamma this year. That there's a Gemara that says, Ein darken shol ben yodim his chachach b'ksolim. It's not normal that people walking in the street are going to walk so close to the wall that they're going to rub their jackets against the wall. The jacket is going to get dirty and it may rip, because sometimes the bricks are jagged edges, so people don't walk so close to the wall. So the Chasam Sofer probably thought, animals also not going to walk so close to the wall. How thick is the whole pole? The whole pole is only an inch thick, an inch or two thick. How thick can the whole Kanamikan? When you have an Erev, Kanamikan. So he says, the pole is attached, let's say here's a wall, and he's afraid the Nochrim walking in the street going to pull down the pole. So the pole begins 10 feet above the ground level, so nobody can reach so high, a giant can't reach so high. So nobody's going to walk under it. The animals are not going to walk so close to the wall, within an inch of the wall, and the human beings are not going to walk. So that's probably why the Chasam Sofer thought that it doesn't have to be within three tefachim. You always say mechitza tlui is not acceptable because it's mechitza shagadoyim bokim bo, but here the behemoths and the people are not going to walk so close to the wall. So the Chazon Ish says that he thinks it's wrong, because you look in Mar Mekoymus number 48, so the Gemara says that kula, that you only worry about mechitza shahagadoyim bokim bo, mechitza shahadogim bokim bo, the fish are swimming. So Rashi says not noticeable because it's swimming below the water, it doesn't bother me. So the Gemara says kalu shekilo chachami b'mayim. It's a leniency that the rabbis introduced because carrying in a river or in a lake is only a karmelis to begin with. It's not a b'shus haram derais. Why did the Gemara have to say kalo shekilacham emayim? It's a good cheshbon. You say good achis. You have suspended mechitzas. The Gemara has, the Mishnah has an erev in a case. A guy, they built an apartment building right next to the river. So the guy has a balcony on the apartment building. So the balcony has the dimensions of Rishu Seyach. When you have walls on the balcony, you shouldn't fall off. You have three walls, and they have the wall of the building. So the balcony is a Rishu Seyach. Fine. So the guy wants to draw water. He wants to wash his dishes or whatever. He wants to draw water from the river. So he wants to throw a bucket down into the river. So you're not allowed to, because the river is a Carmelis, and the balcony is a Rishu Seyach, and the apartment is a Rishu Seyach. You're not allowed to. So the Mishnah tells you what to do. Make a hole in the floor of your balcony and have mechitzis go down 10 tefachim suspended, the guy lives on the fifth floor. So he's going to make mechitzis suspended attached to the floor of the balcony, 10 tefachim tall, and you're going to say, good, achis mechitzis, it goes down 5 floors. You visualize it, it's missing mamish so much. The mechitzis only 10 tefachim suspended below the floor of the balcony, and it's missing 4.5, the elevation of 4.5 flights. So that's no problem, because b'chitza sha dogim bokim bo doesn't bother me. Gemara says, kalo shekila chom in mayim. It's a kula, because carrying in the caramelist is only midirabonah to begin with, and the guy needs the water to wash the dishes or whatever. Maybe needs it for drinking also, I don't know. So what does the Gemara say, kalo shekila chom in mayim? Is it good cheshbon? So the Chazanish said, you see from the Gemara that even if there's no Gidoyim Bokim, but even if it's only Dogim and Bikia's Dogim doesn't bother me, it's not. That's not the whole story. Mechitza Tluya is not acceptable. Mechitza Tluya, to be allowed to carry from the river onto the porch, then they were mekel with the Mechitza Tluya. But here the Chasam Sofer was mekel to carry in the city. Carrying the city, that's a real Isur Haitzor. You can't be mekel if you have a suspended pole. Then the Chazon Ish writes, and in his opinion, even if the pole is suspended within 3 tochim to the ground, it's not acceptable. He says, because he considers that pischei shamoi. The Gemara says that Tzuras HaPesach has to be k'da abdi inchi. Have to make, here's a Tzuras HaPesach, the frame of a door. So you have konim, bikam, al-gabeim. That's normal. If you don't have konim al-gabeim, you have a konim in atzah, that's not normal. The Gemara said that's pischei shamoi. Psochim shomeinim, poorly constructed psochim, that's not acceptable. So he says, if you ask a goyish contractor, you ask a goyish builder, can you build the frame of a door with lovewood? Lovewood, what lovewood, when lovewood? A frame of a door. You have two poles that go down to the floor, you don't use lovewood. You can't use lovewood, it has to be kiddi abdinsh, it has to be normal. So the Chazon Ish thinks that if you have an Erev and the poles don't touch the ground, it's not acceptable. I was once speaking for the RCA. The speaker right before me was Rabbi Tendler, so he was talking about brain death and everything, and pulling the plug. And it was a RCA conference. So I came at the end of his talk. I was the next speaker. So they asked me to speak about how to make an Erev. So I mentioned this from the Chazon Ish. So apparently Rabbi Tendler is mahader that the poles bedavkit do not touch the ground, because if it touches the ground, it's going to get ruined from the snow, and from the cars are going to smash into the pole, so his dafke makbid should not touch the ground. So he said, according to Rabbi Shechter, there's no Arab in the world that's acceptable. I said, except for Dave Rubin, that I supervise. Those are acceptable. Anyway, so the Stipler writes also, David Poshet, if the poles are within 3 tvachim, of course it's good. You say, lovewood. And Shari Tshuva next to the Behetav also says like that, that it's good. And Chazon Ish thinks that it's not good. He thinks that it's pischi shamoi. There's a Tzvi Pesach Frank. We're going to have to talk a lot about that. Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva where he discusses if you have a Tzvi Pesach, Kanamikah, here's a ground level, the Kanal Gabayim, and it's Segig. So let's say the Segig is within 10 Tvachim to the ground. The Chitz has to be 10 Tvachim tall. Less than 10 Tvachim tall is no good. Let's say this part of the Segig wire is above 10 Tvachim. This part is above 10 Tvachim. And the middle part over here is within 10 tefachim to the ground. So this is not acceptable in the middle part. So Rabbi Pesach Frank says, so what's the problem? If the whole gap between this point and this point is less than 3 tefachim, then you say lovewood. So you have a cut. And he says that's the din in Shulchan Aruch, and the Ferish din in Sagamara, with respect to a korah. If you have a mavui, and you have only mechitzas on 3 walls, the first Mishnah and Erevin, so it says you have to put either a lechi or a korah. So a korah means if you have a beam that goes across, from here you have 3 walls, and over here there's no wall, so if you put a beam from the top of this building to the top of the other building, it's acceptable. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, HaGemar, what happens if one beam only goes 45% of the way, the other beam goes 45% of the way, and the middle is missing, a little bit is missing. So it says if the part that's missing is less than 3 tefachim, you say lovewood, it's considered as if you had a korah all the way across. So the Mishnah, the Gemara there is talking about a korah. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has in his Tshuva, his Har Tzvi, he thinks the same is true for Tzuras HaPesach. If you have the two sides, the Tzuras HaPesach is acceptable because it's above 10 Tvachim. In the middle part, you're missing less than 3 Tvachim distance because it's within 3 Tvachim, so you say Lavud. So the Chazanish doesn't relate to that case. He said you can't say Lavud to construct the Tzuras HaPesach. That's what the Gemara calls Pischi Shamoy. Gemara says about other things. You have to make a Tzuras HaPesach in the Avdi Inchi. We mentioned Moshe Feinstein's opinion about Pi Tikra, that the elevated is not acceptable because it wasn't made as a Tikra, it was made as a floor. And the Pashtus is, and the Gemara says, not like Reb Moshe, Pashtus is not something. I don't think we did number 64, I don't think we did it. You'll remind me if we did. The Gemara Sukkah has a case. A sukkah has to have the minimum height of 10 tefachim. So let's say the fellow has a gigantic sukkah the size of this room, and it's only 9 tefachim tall. In the middle of the sukkah, he digs a cavity that's a couple of tefachim deep. And that cavity is Zion. A sukkah has to be 7 by 7 tefachim. So the cavity is 7 by 7 tefachim. And at that point, the schach is 10 tefachim above, more than 10 tefachim above is good. But the question is, the tfanis are all the way over there. So the Gemara says, if the cavity that he dug is within 3 tvachim to the walls, then you say lavud. So here you have 9 tvachim of a doifen over here, and you have another 5 tvachim over here. So 9 and 5 is already 14. All you need is 10 tvachim tall. So then it's good. But if the tefanas are more than 3 tefachim away from the cavity that he dug, the charitz that he dug in the middle of the sukkah, so it's not acceptable. So the exact same Gemara appears in Masechu Shabbos in the first parak with respect to Rishus HaYochid for Shabbos purposes. The guy has a house, and the house is only, let's say the house was normal, and it sank into the ground. So now the roof of the house, the walls are only 8, 9 tefachim above the ground level. You no longer have 10 tefachim above the ground level. Gemara says, let him dig inside. So if he digs a cavity in the ground for Rishus Sayachid, for Shabbos, you don't need Zayin al Zayin Tvachim, you need Dalar Adal Tvachim. So he digs Dalar Adal Tvachim, and so let's say the walls of a 9 Tvachim, and he dug another 5 Tvachim deep, so it's more than enough. So the Gemara there doesn't say it has to be within 3 Tvachim to the walls. How come? So the two Taisus, and one is Sukkah, one is Shabbos. And one Taisus says, the Gemara on Shabbos is relying on the Brisa and Sukkah. It also has to be within 3 Tvachim. If it's not within 3 Tvachim, it's Sukkah. The other opinion in Tosfos is no. By Sukkah, there's a din, you need the Fanas, and you need Tzrach. So you need the Fanas, have to be 10 Tvachim tall. So if part of the Doifen is here, part of the Doifen is here, the Charitz in the ground, 5 Tvachim deep, and the wall is over there, and it's not within Lovud, it's not in Star of Yachid, you don't have a Doifen. By Shabbos, Tosfos has the one opinion, there's no din that you need. You don't need a cheftza of a mechitza. You don't need a cheftza of a mechitza. You need the makam should be a makam mukam. Makam is three-dimensional. We always assume makam is two-dimensional. Dalar adal tvachim is a sheer makam for Shabbos, for Rosh Hashanah. So Tosfos says, no, makam is three-dimensional. Dalar adal begova yud. So the makam has to be mukaf. So if you have, it's a little bit mukaf, it's 5 tvachim. The thing is, dalal adal tvachim, the charitz that you dug in the middle of the house, it's dalal adal tvachim, the floor, and it's 5 tvachim tall. And then the rest of the makam is dalal adal begova yud. The rest of the makam is mukav because you have a mechitza here. You don't need that the 5 tvachim deep with the 9 tvachim above the ground should be within love to each other. You don't need, by sukkah there's a dignity. Why do we use a different lashon? By sukkah you call it defanas. My Shabbos, he called it mechitzas. Rav Soloveitchik said, that's the reason why. Because by Sukkah, you need a cheftza of a doifen. By Shabbos, you don't need a cheftza of a mechitza. The mokum should be a mokum mukaf. He said it could be an afkamina halacha lamaisa. Let's say you made the fanas of the Sukkah or mechitzas of the Rishu Sayachat for Shabbos purposes from Irini Dachas wood or for Asherah. And the din is you're supposed to burn it. So the Mishnah in Sukkah has a din of kitoise mech de shiur. If you have Asherah, in Chumash, called Asherah de Moshe, the Asherah de Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about. If you have Hashem with the Moshe, you have something from here. And he dachas it's zaymed l'sreifa, so it doesn't have the shiur. You say kitosim mech the shiur. So that's only if you need. So by sukkah, it could be that would be possible. If you have the fanus, you need a cheftz of a doifen. The doifen should be 10 tefachim tall. So if the doifen is kitosim mech the shiur, a lulav has to be 4 tefachim tall. Hadas manrovas have to be 3 tefachim tall. And esrik has to be a certain size. Ke'egos, ke'beitza. So if it's oimid l'sreifo, if it's shalash erid emoshe, erin idachas, k'teis mech t'shura, so it doesn't have the shear. But for Shabbos purposes, it's a beferish b'raisa that it is good. If you have mechitzis for Shabbos, that are made from asher, from erin idachas, so of course the makam is mukaf. The shear ten tvachim tol is not a shear in the mechitzah. It's a shear in the makam. A makam is a three-dimensional thing. It has a length and a width and a height. And the makam is up until 10th vachem. And the makam has to be mukav. So the makam is mukav. The shiur 10th vachem is not on Shabbos, not a shiur that you need in the mechitzah. Rab Chaim explains this in the Sefer. And Rab Soloveitchik explained, based on Rab Chaim, it may come out a difference between the fanas by sukkah and mechitzahs by Shabbos. So this issue comes up once in a long while when you're making an Erev. Once in a long while, you have such a shayla. You have, let's say, you try to figure out whether there are mechitzas in the street. So someone has a wall in front of his, he has an elevated ground level, elevated from the ground. So you have a wall that's, let's say, 8 tvachim tall. And then you go 5 tvachim in, and then there's another fence that's another 8 tvachim tall. So no one fence has 10 tvachim, and the two walls are not within love to each other. So do you say, but the street has dalar al dalar, and the street is mokam mukaf? Mukaf, you can be mitzarif to 8 tvachim here, with 8 tvachim over here, even though they're not within lovud. Or do you say, no, you can't be mitzarif. So this is, the Mishnah Brewer is not sure how to paskan on this topic. Chazanish keeps on going back and forth. This is a shaylan adin deraisa, and once in a while it does come up. I remember we were looking over some erev in New Jersey in one of the communities, so they had such a case that there was 8 tvachim here, 8 tvachim there, and that was the diyun in the Mishnah Brewer and the Chazon Ish, whether you're paskin like the Taisus in Sukkah or like the Taisus in Shabbos. Okay, so I think we covered the Perek Gimel. We got to do Perek Dalet. We started already. If you have it, let's say you have a building. So that's a mechitza, 10 tvachim tall. So the inside of the building is the Rishus Hayach. So the question is, but you open the door? So when you open the door, so you shouldn't be allowed to carry? So the answer is, no, the door is, it's Eimed Merub al HaParetz. You have, let's say here, you open the door. So you have over here, you have part of the wall is standing, the rest of the wall is standing. That's Eimed Merub al HaParetz, and the Pirtz is Pachas Me'as HaRamah, so it doesn't bother me. What if you have a very big door, and the door is parts merubah lo'emed? The door is open. You have a house, and the door is open in such a way that you have more, 51% of the mechitza is missing that when you open the door. So the din is once you have a tzuras at Pesach, you have a kana mikam kana mikam kana gabayim. Just like over here, you have kana mikam kana mikam kana gabayim. So that has the din of a mechitza. So that's a question. Maybe that's acceptable because to begin with, you have three other walls here. So Minatora, you're allowed to carry. You don't need a Minatora. You don't need anything on the fourth wall. That's the opening Mishnah in Erevin. The whole tikkun on the Ruach Aviz only needed midirabbanan. There's in the beginning of Erevin where it says beferish. The whole tikkun on the Ruach is only midirabbanan. So there's a line in Tosfos that the Marshal on the bottom of the Marshal talks about. There's a line of Taisa that it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. What do you mean halacha l'moshe m'sinai? It's a din d'araisa. It's beferish that the whole needs for the tikkun on the ruach revis is only with the rabbanim. So they say there was halacha l'moshe m'sinai that if in a later generation the rabbanim will want to make a din d'rabbanim, they should make it with halacha yarekura. Very strange line. The Rosh Hashulchan always makes everything the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That you're not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Everything halacha l'moshe m'sinai, they didn't have only the rabbanon. It's a difficult line in the Tosfos. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So the question is, maybe this whole institution of tzuras haPesach, that since you have the frame of the door, even though the door is open, it's considered a mechitza. Maybe it's a kula on the ruach revius where ben kobako you're allowed to carry. Or maybe it's a kula if you have a karmelis. If you have a karmelis on minatora, there's no isa. Karmelis is a makam tur minatora. It's only midirabbanan that declared a karmelis, you're not allowed to carry. So they may be there. You make a tzuras ha-pesach. What if you make a tzuras ha-pesach in the middle of the rishus ha-rabim, and I pick something up from the rishus ha-rabim and I put it inside the area that's mukav mechitzas with the tzuras ha-pesach? Does the tzuras ha-pesach really work on the level of the raisa? Or maybe it's only a make-believe thing midirabbanan. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Bir Halacha. Mishnah Berurah quotes a sofik from the Prima God. Prima God was a pesach mefursam. And he has a suffix, maybe Tzoros HaPesach is only Midrabban. So Chazon Ish said, with all due respect, Prima Gada made a mistake, it's against an often Gemara. The Gemara says, Beferish and Ervin, Tzoros HaPesach, that is good. To be Mata Kalayim and Eretz Yisrael, when you're talking about Kalayim Deraisa, I want to plant grapes over here on this side, and I want to plant Tvua over here, Chitim on this side. So you have to be Marchik Dalar Amz in between. If you have a fence, then you don't have to be Marchik. So it says, Beferish, Peya Materis, Bikalayim. Peya means Tzuras HaPesach. Make it Tzuras HaPesach, everything is growing on top of everything else, but officially you have a Tzuras HaPesach, so it's a good Mechitza Menater. So you're allowed to plant the grapes up until the Tzuras HaPesach, you're allowed to plant the Tvua up until the Tzuras HaPesach. So you see that it works Menater. So it's a Beferish against the Sofik in the Prima Godim. So the Galatian Achrayim defend the Prima Godim. It's an often a Gemara in the sugi of Tzuras HaPesach and Erev. How can it's not a favor for the Mar Mokaymus? Not a favor for the Mar Mokmus and a Mishnah Klaim. It's in the Gemara and Erev. So they defend the Prima Godim. They say the two kinds of mechitzas. Mechitza for Shabbos has to be makif the area, has to enclose the area. Mechitza for Kilayim doesn't have to be makif an area. Let's say I just want to plant over here grapes and over here tvua and make a Tzuras HaPesach from here to here. It doesn't have to enclose the whole area, just the mechitza hamapsekes. It's a different kind of a mechitza. So maybe the Gemara says that a Tzuras HaPesach is recognized on the level of the Raisa. Maybe it's considered a mechitza hamapsekes, but maybe it's not a mechitza hamakefes. Maybe for Shabbos it's still no good menater. That's okay, so that's the sofik. But it's because of that, that's one of the two reasons why whenever you want to make an erev in a community, so you first have to declare that to begin with, the whole Issa Haitzah is only Midirabban. If you're talking about a real Rishus Aram Deraisa, so the Arab is always going to be Tzuras HaPesach. The governor is not going to let you put up walls and fences. You're going to block the whole flow of traffic and the people won't be able to walk there. So you're going to put up Tzuras HaPesach that are not going to interfere with anybody. So according to one side in the Prima Godim, Tzuras HaPesach doesn't work if you have a real Rishus Aram Deraisa. It only works if you have a karmelis to begin with. Then the other reason why we always start off like that, you can only make an erev if the Isser Hatzot to begin with is only midirabbanon. If it's a real b'shus haram deraisa, an erev isn't going to work. The other reason is because the Gemara had a discussion on the Avcha Beis and erev and a Mishnah and a Sugya there. All the Tanaim, Rabbi Yudin and Rabbanon have a machlekes about the details, but they all agree if you have mechitzas brias, sturdy mechitzas, so then it doesn't bother me the fact that osu rabim and mevatam mechitzah, the fact that it doesn't block the flow of traffic. But if you're dealing with mechitzas gruos, weaker mechitzas, then there's a problem of osu rabim and mechitzah. The fact that it doesn't block the flow of traffic causes that it's not called a mechitzah, because mechitzah is supposed to be makif the area. So if it doesn't prevent the flow of traffic, so it's not separating at all. So we usually assume, this is a machloikas, we usually assume that a Tzuras HaPesach is mechitzas gruos. The Ritva says on Adaf, Tzuras HaPesach, that's normal. A Tzuras HaPesach is supposed to be that people can go through. That's what a Tzuras HaPesach is all about. That's mechitzas brios. But all the other Rishonim assume not so, that Tzuras HaPesach is mechitzas gruos. And then if it's really Rishus Aram Deraisa, so it's not going to help. So that's why we first declare that the whole prohibition of Hoitzo is only Midirabbanan. For some reason or another, we went through the klol and when is it Rishus Aram Deraisa? So it was only an Isur Hoitzo Midirabbanan. Then we're makel, then you don't have to worry about Osir Rabbim and Mevatlim Mechitzta. So the Tzuras HaPesach is one line in the Gemara. Kanim Bekam, Kanim Bekam, Kan Al Gabeyim. The Lashon HaGemara Kan Al Gabeyim has to be on top. So the Gemara has a den, if it's minatzad, it's not acceptable. Why? Because that's not kiddi abdi inchi. That's pischei shamoi, psochem shamein. That's poorly constructed. So it's a pesach normalist to have on top. The Marsham was a very big Mekel. Marsham was a rabbi in Barjan, the early 1900s. He died then. So he was Mekel. That Bizman Hazeh, it's normal to make Tzuras HaPesach min Atzad. They don't always pull it on top. A lot of times they put it on the side. So that's why when they made the Erev in, originally, the first Erev in Toronto, the rabbi was corresponding with the Marsham in the early 1900s. And he was the Talmud Rav of the Marsham. So he made the Tzuras HaPesach min Atzad. And then years later, Chever came from Eretz Yisrael and they started a new Kol Aliyah, strong learners, and they passed the Erev. They said it doesn't correspond to what it says in Mishnah Berurah. So they had to do over the whole Erev. But for years, they were relying on that Marsham, that was Banazad, the whole Dinah Min Atzad doesn't apply. And Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlag. Years ago, I remember when I was your age, Reuben, the Reuben of the Reuven in the bungalow colonies and in the hotels and in the camps and in Borough Park, Reuben the Reuben were not made properly. And one of the problems was that it was the raw min atzad. They would have a pole here and a pole here. Then they tie a string somewhere over here, tie the string around it. The strings never went al gabay. So all the camps like that, none of them made it right. Now they have Erev committees and everybody checks all their room. So then they said they're relying those, when you would bring it to their attention. I remember my sister went to a certain camp, and I sent a letter to the guy in charge of the camp. How do you machshel the children? They were all carrying an apostle of Erev. So they had a rabbi look it up. So he said, the Taz says that it's good. The Taz says if it's towards the top, even though it's tied around, it's okay. They didn't know the Taz. They, after it brought to their attention, then they realized that the Taz is mekel, but we don't pass them like the Taz. Has to be literally agabem. There's even one of the Gedolim writes in his Chuvas, forgot the name. One of the Gedolim writes in his Chuvas, he's machmer. If you have a pole and you have a nail protruding and then you tie the string around the nail, that's not agabem. Because it has to be on the tippy top of the nail. So that's what many. A machmet to bang down the nail, so it's not protruding. It is protruding an eighth of an inch above, but if you bang down the nail, so it's not the problem of al gabay. So we assume it has to be kana al gabay. It shouldn't be min atzad, even if it's towards the top. It's not acceptable. We mentioned the Chazon Ish held that lovut is not acceptable for Tzuras HaPesach, not for the Kohen Bikan. The Kohen Bikan has to be touching the ground, and not for the middle either, if it's sagging on top. And the middle sags within 10 Trochim. But see, Pesach Frank said, as long as the gap between this wire and that wire is less than 3,000, say lovut. So the Chazon Ish doesn't talk about that case, but he says you can't use lovut to construct the Tzuras HaPesach. It's Pischi Shamo, it's poorly constructed. So he thinks that it's not acceptable. Yeah, the shaila is, let's say you made a kohen b'kan, 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 Tzuras HaPesach, b'kan al gabayhem, fine. And then you continue, after you make your Erev, then you continue to put more bricks and you make another floor. You make the wall taller. You make the thing taller. But originally he made it was good. It was kohen b'kan, 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 b'kan al gabayhem. So you say later on, because you built something on top of it, so it's no longer good. Or would you say no? Since originally it was good, it was good. So the Chazon Ish thinks that even if melechatchila, let's say the pole is very tall, and you drill a hole at the elevation more than 10 tefachim above the ground, drill a hole through and through, and you pull the string through, and the string goes through over there. It's also good. He says, dalmei hacha, you ignore the fact that the pole goes higher. What do I care about the upper part of the pole? This is against the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says to use Rabban Soloveitchik's lashon, it has to be on the tippy top. It has to be on the very top of the pole. So if the pole is taller, you have to put the kohen al gabayhem all the way on the top. And the Chazon Ish was mekel on that. If it Chazon Ish was mekel, as long as it's above 10 tefachim, it's not a problem. So the shaila is, if you're mekel, as long as above 10 tefachim, it's al gabayim. But let's say you bang, let's say you have economy, you bang a nail in sideways here, you tie a string on the nail, it goes, then you bang a nail over here sideways. So why don't you say the string is above 10 tefachim, the nails on the two sides are an extension of the string, so it's al gabeim. How thick does the pole have to be on the side? Well, we'll discuss, it doesn't have to be so thick. So the nail goes in half an inch. The nail goes in half an inch into the pole. If it wouldn't go in half an inch, it would fall down. So obviously the nail is going in. So it should be, damehocha, ignore the upper part. Why don't you say that every case where you have two nails, it should be good. We assume it's no good. So the Chazanish thinks that's not acceptable because you don't see the inside of the nail. You know, obviously, the nail must have gone through a little bit. Since you don't see it, so the perception is that it's been outside. The perception has been outside, so it's no good. There's another shayla. Let's say a lot of times the poles that the government puts up for electricity or for telephone, New York, you don't have telephone poles, but in other cities you have telephone poles. A lot of times the pole is wider on the bottom and it gets thinner as you go up. So if you tie the string around an upper part, 6 feet above the ground level, it's really al gabeim. You don't need a hole. You don't need the string has to be touching the pole. If the pole is over here and the string is on top, the Gemara has a machlokes in there. When we pass knafel pishen and again, it's still good. So the bottom part of the pole is 10 tefachim tall, and it's very fat. And then the upper part is thinner and it's directly above, and you tie the string above. So that's al gabeim of the bottom part. So even if you tie it around, it should be acceptable. So the Chazon Ish writes, he doesn't think that that's acceptable because the perception is that it's been outside. If you look carefully, you're going to see that the bottom is wider, and therefore the string on top that's tied around and around is really al gabeim of the bottom part. But he says the perception is that that's been outside is no good. But let's say according to the Chazon Ish, if you drill a hole, you have economy. Chazon Ish says, let's say you have a tree. You have a big fat trunk of the tree, and then you have branches sticking out. So you take your wire and you go over the part of the tree where it goes like a Y. The bottom part is fat, 10 tefachim tall, big fat trunk of the tree. Then the branch is that. So you take your wire over there. See, if you hold like that, Mishnah Brura got it from the Tikkun Erev, from the Nesivus's, the end of the Nesivus's Sefer, and Hilchos Pesach. He has one page, less than a whole page, called Tikkun Erev. How to make an Erev and one easy lesson. So the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Tikkun Erev, but that's not acceptable. So the Chazon Ish disagrees. He says, it is good if you put it on top. Dalmei Hocha, forget about the branches of the tree. It's directly above the trunk of the tree. The trunk of the tree is 10 tefachim tall, so it's good. It doesn't have to be on the very top, on the tippy top. So in Eretz Yisrael, they were mekel on that because of the Chazon Ish. And then they have, someone printed years ago, someone printed 50 years ago, a letter from Rabbi Yashiv that they asked him, is it acceptable? So he said, it's against the Mishnah Brura. He says, someone should go at night when no one's watching, and they should fix it. They did it based on the Chazon Ish. So he thinks that you shouldn't be mekel based on the Chazon Ish. He thinks you have to be a machmer like the Mishnah Brura, but it's a chutzpah to do it in the daytime. So they printed this letter from Rabbi Yash. Someone should go at night when no one's watching, they should fix it, and they should satisfy the requirements of the Mishnah Brura.
The fact that it's perceived as being
No, he thinks that it has to be al gabeim. It has to look like it's al gabeim.
Meaning people wouldn't build it that way, so it's an
issue. Pischei shamor, yeah. Fully constructed, yeah. That's what the Chazon Ish has a lot of tziurim where he discusses, is it al gabeim, is it menatzan? So that's, a lot of times you have a bolt through, what they call. The string goes, the electric wires. The string goes, the wire goes from one pole to the other, and then there's a piece of metal that goes through and through. It goes in one side, it goes out the other side, and it's clear that it goes through and through. And the string goes. There's a bolt through over here, a bolt through over here. So according to the Chazon Ish, the perception is that it's al gabeim. They say dami hacha, the upper part, and the lower part is 10 tefachim tall before you get to the bolt through. So that would be acceptable. The Gemara says ein tzrichim liga. String on top doesn't have to touch the pole, but it has to be directly above. What do you mean directly above? Let's say it's a few feet higher. How do you determine directly above? Directly above based on what it looks like, or directly above based on the pull of gravity? So there are different practices. Some people say, what does it look like? Kithiro Osai, and others say, no, according to the pull of gravity. I can see either way, but sometimes you have an Erev. Well, one rabbi was in charge when they made this part, the other rabbi was in charge when they made that part. So either this is right and that's right. It can't be that either way is acceptable. So you have to be consistent. Either according to the Shabi Al-Gabem, according to the, I personally think, according to the pull of gravity it should be. But I can see the other way also, but you can't have half like this and half like that. So the Loshan Gemara has to be Kona Al-Gabeyan. Kona Mikama Kona Mikama Kona Al-Gabeyan. What if you have, let's say, the telephone poles, and then they have a box with all kinds of other things, mapsik, in between the bottom 10 tefachim, and the wire is all the way on top. The box is mapsik. Or sometimes you have the string is on top of the roof of a building. You have a little bungalow. The string is on top of the roof, and the roof is protruding. The roof sticks out like this. And the pole is directly under the roof, touching the building, and the protrusion of the roof is mapsik in between the string on top and the pole on the bottom. So the Taz has a funny chumra. So the Taz says you have to drill a hole in the roof, so the string will be al gabeyam. If you don't drill a hole, so the blitas agag is mapsik, so it's no good. Yeah, but a lot of times you have a box of electronic wires over there. The government is not going to, phone company is not going to let you drill a hole in the thing. So the Chayodam proofs in the Gemara, Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayodam, he proofs in the Gemara, Mikra Din, it's not really a problem. The whole thing is a chumrah. So if you really get stuck, there's room to be made on that. That's in number 70, that Chayodam. How sturdy do the poles have to be?
So what do you mean by proven by the pull of gravity?
A lot of times the pole is tilted on a slant a little bit. So do you say you visualize as if the pole continues to go that way? You visualize according to the pull of gravity, it's going up. Or a lot of times the pole is straight, but the ground is crooked. So, and it looks as if that's all goddamn. But if you start dancing around a little bit, you'll see that according to the pull of gravity, the wire on top should be over here, shouldn't be, even though the pole is straight. But the whole ground on the bottom is crooked. So that's a question. When they say Al-Gabeyim, Afal Pishen and Ageya, doesn't mean Al-Gabeyim according to the pull of gravity. Al-Gabeyim, Kefi Rosa Ayin. So the different practices, how you determine that. Yeah, how sturdy do the poles on either side have to be? So here, the poles on either side are holding, you have hinges. The hinges hold the door. The door is a heavy door here. It's made from metal. And then on the other side, the door locks in. And then on top, you have the gadget on top that prevents it from slamming. So all the three, all three of them are pretty sturdy. This one has the hinges, and that one has the contraption on top. And that one holds the door in place. It closes it. Does it really have to be so sturdy? So the Gemara says it has to be Bria Kedela Kabal Dela Shel Kash. It doesn't have to be so sturdy that it can hold a metal door that's so thick like this. Whatever is an acceptable door in that country. Maybe in South Africa, the natives over there live in little huts. The doors are mashu. Maybe in China and Japan, maybe they have paper doors. We have to use a door that's acceptable in this part of the United States. It doesn't have to be so heavy, so thick. But it has to be a reasonably useful door that's acceptable in that medina. And the truth of the matter, the further away the poles are, when you make an Erev in the city, so sometimes you use a pole over here, a pole over there, three blocks away. The further away the poles are, so the sturdier they have to be. They have to be able to hold the door, not a door that's 3 feet wide. A door that'll go from one pole to the other. If you would have had the door there, it would have been a mechitza. So even though you don't have a door there, it's considered as if there was a door there, as if there is a mechitz over there. But the further away the doors are, if it's going to be three blocks apart from each other, it's highly unlikely that the telephone poles would be able to hold the door. The door doesn't have to be so high that it'll reach the string on top. The door should just be 10 tefachim high. Sometimes I have a cardboard door separating between my kitchen and my dining room, an accordion cardboard door. So a lot of people have like that. That's a door in America. People have such a door inside the house. But you need economy, 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 economy. So the whole difference The whole gap between one pole and the other is only 3 feet at home. But if you have 3 blocks in between, the poles have to be extremely sturdy to be able to hold the door, 10 tefachim tall, that would be a mechitza. All right. One has to be able to hold the door half the way, the other one has to be able to hold the door the other half of the way. And if you have the both doors together, then you would have had a mechitza. Does the string have to be so sturdy that you have to bolt this, the door into the string? So maybe we'll save that for next week. We got to run to Dada Mincha. Okay. We have 7 weeks of Shia, or 6 weeks of
Shia.
Tour. Okay.